when a news story dominates the headlines, be it a mass shooting, a natural disaster, or some other catalyzing event, it tends to motivate people to spring into action. A lot of good can get done that way. But then the TV cameras move on, life returns to normal for most of us, and the chance for lasting change quickly slips away. That's why it's been so inspiring to see the activism sparked by the Newtown massacre and other instances of gun violence continue and even grow. I see it as a case of vast numbers of Americans saying simply, enough, enough of this, and refusing to allow the inaction of our legislators frustrate them into surrender. One great example of this refusal to give up will be on display this weekend in New York City as the Middle Collegiate Church observes Martin Luther King Day and honors Dr. King's principles of nonviolence on Sunday by literally turning a gun into a plowshare. Now, I want someone other than myself to talk about how that's done, and so I'm very happy to be joined by the Reverend Dr. Jackie Lewis, who is the senior minister at Middle Collegiate. Dr. Lewis, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Tell us about the events planned for this Sunday, the 19th.
Well, every year, for 30 years now, a Middle Collegiate Church has done an amazing celebration of Martin Luther King's life. My predecessor, Gordon Drott, and me, both of us, were really deeply impacted by King's assassination. He's about 20 years older than I am, but I was about 9 when King was killed and felt really called to ministry around a ministry of reconciliation and justice. And Gordon had that same kind of experience. And so Middle Church just really believes in honoring this day, honoring King's legacy. We've also been deeply committed to anti-gun violence. You know, I grew up in Chicago. So shootings on playgrounds and shootings in alleys and shootings on city streets really marked my childhood. That violence just stunned me. And when the shootings happened at Newtown, when the shootings happened in Aurora, and quite frankly, when Trayvon Martin was killed, our congregation got really activated around how every single life that is cut down by gun violence unnecessarily is a life too many, and that we need to really turn our attention to it. So we were looking for something to do. Last year, this time, we organized with PICO a big anti-gun violence Sabbath, where some 450 congregations participated on King Day weekend, Jewish congregations, Muslim congregations, and Christian. And PICO was going to be doing such a Sabbath again this March. But this weekend, we decided to invite a man named Mike Martin, whose URL is called rawtools.org. And Mike lives in Colorado, and so got very, you know, activated around the Aurora killing. And he literally takes rifles and guns and saws them with his electronic, you know, equipment and beats them and reshapes them into, quote unquote, plowshares that are actually pieces of art. So we're so excited that he's going to be able to be with us in worship in the morning, where we'll present the gun as a symbol of the violence we do with guns and also with poverty and as we leave children behind. And during a teach-in all afternoon, he's going to keep working on it. And about 4 o'clock, we'll have the piece of art, the plowshare, that we're going to make a gift to Mayor de Blasio's office.
That's great. Are you doing a sermon as usual on that Sunday?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, our gospel choir is singing a freedom song medley and an African song about freedom. Our middle church choir is doing spirituals in honor of Dr. King's Day. We're going to close with Precious Lord, which is actually the song that, I don't know if you know the story, Reverend Gaddy, but when King was leaning over the balcony down in Memphis, he said to the musician that was going to accompany him that evening, pray Precious Lord for me tonight. Play Precious Lord for me and play it pretty. So we're going to close our worship with that. And one of our artists, Titus Burgess of Little Mermaid and 30 Rock, is going to sing an original composition, Love is an Action, a song that he's inspired to write because of King's amazing legacy.
My goodness. Well, what are you going to say?
That's a great, thank you. Let me preach a little bit. You know, Reverend, this text about turning swords into plowshares is so important to the Hebrew people that both Micah and Isaiah quote it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful metaphor of turning the tools we have for making war into tools for peace. And I was working on my sermon earlier this week, and one of the things I realized is that we, each of us, is a tool that can be a tool for making war or making peace. Mm-hmm. And the Jewish concept, you know, of shalom is not just about the absence of war. It is about wholeness and healing. It is about justice and everyone being treated with dignity. It is about everyone having enough. So I'm going to talk about how we can be tools so that we can make sure that there is shalom in the land, that every child has a safe place to learn and grow, that they are guaranteed the right to life because we manage gun control in our nation,
mm-hmm.
that every mom that wants to has an ability to learn along with their child and earn a living wage so they can send them off to college. The students who have been to college can have their debt pardoned and be able to go to school and grow and be successful citizens. That immigrant families are put back together as opposed to ripped apart. I'm going to try to talk a 360 peace plan.
That's great. What then is going to follow in that teach-in session?
We are going to first hear some music from our babies because we think our children are the future, mm-hmm. and they're going to sing some music they've been working on about freedom and justice. We're going to do a talk about how race is underneath many of the social issues that impact us. And we're focusing on five issues. We're focusing on gun violence, criminal justice, economic inequality, education disparity, and healthcare. So we'll do a little talk about the interrelatedness of those issues. Some of our artists are going to do a dramatic reading of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, a short version of that. And one of our dancers is going to do an improv to that. And people all over the country will be able to live stream that at middlechurch.org, that first hour and 15 minutes or so of teaching. One of our seniors from the Gray Panthers is going to talk about human rights as we close that first hour and 15 minutes. And we're going to give people instructions so they can go have this talk in their own faith communities or in their own community centers. We'll give them questions that they can use for the conversation, and those questions will be on our website. So we're having a teach-in that's not just about Middle Church, but we hope that it becomes a citywide event and that people from around the country will join us.
Oh, that's wonderful. Jackie, do you get the sense that we may be turning a corner as a society, that we're beginning to reach a critical mass of people no longer willing to stand by in the face of this ever-growing injustice and inequality?
I really do. I'm an eternal optimist, maybe a pathological optimist, I don't know. But I really do believe that in the main, most people are people of goodwill, and most people share a dream rooted in the American dream, but not limited by the American dream, that we can hold hands together and be brothers and sisters, that there is enough resources to share so that everyone has enough, that the unique particularity of racial, ethnic identity and sexual orientation and gender are gifts from God.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can celebrate those gifts. And I think most people are looking for a way to do that. There's such a narrative of fear in our country for the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that we have gotten tired of that story, and we're ready to write a new one.
Yeah.
And that the new one is rooted in the old one. And the old story is, you know, the psalmist says it this way, each of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. The writer of Genesis says we're all created in the image of God. There is some old story that the prophets, Isaiah and Micah, are reminding God's people of. And many of us in pulpits this Sunday are going to preach love and justice and acceptance. And I hope that we'll preach it all year long and we won't wait for big days like King Day to do so.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you and Middle Collegiate Church have a long history of working for social justice. And I want to ask you about some of your other ongoing initiatives that the church is involved in, because you speak with such moral authority, and not all of our listeners know you and understand where that authority comes from. And I want them to know that we're not just talking about preaching, we're talking about doing. And so tell us some of the ongoing initiatives that your church is involved in.
Thank you so much for that generous question. So people can find out about us at middlechurch.org. I think our website tells the story of our history. My predecessor was the place, the pastor for community dying of AIDS in the 1980s. Mm. This Middle Church was the place where Jewish people and Black people and Christian people and white people brought their families to mourn and grieve. One of the Middle Church members started a thing called Celebrate Life Meal in 1985. So the people living with HIV/AIDS could come and have a hot meal and social services and have dignity and be treated with respect and unstigmatize the disease in those days. We've been doing gay unions for as long as that, since 1985, in this place, honoring couples. I remember when I first got here, the Marlboro Man, the original actor, the Marlboro Man, named Ken, and his partner Rudy, celebrated their 55th anniversary in this place. Oh. And we did their funerals in this place. A Navy lieutenant and an actor who had to be underground in California and pretend like they dated women's. And we honored their relationship and so many other relationships. We worked tirelessly for marriage equality until it was law. And when it was law, we did three marriages on the next Sunday in our sanctuary. One of my colleagues and I were walking through City Hall, watching couples, you know, do their blessings and just blessing them when the law was passed. Yeah. We have worked for racial justice for decades, and every year we offer a conference for people who are trying to learn how to grow multiracial congregations, because we believe that all churches should embrace the diversity of God's people in their midst, and we need tools and skills in order to do so. So racial justice, economic justice, we've been feeding people for 25 years, first in the Celebrate Life Meal, and now with a thing called the Soul Food Truck that two of our members donated so that we could serve hot meals to the people who are hungry in Tompkins Square Park every Sunday.
Well,
we believe that God has called us to be doers of justice, and so this is what we do.
That's where the enthusiasm, that's where the sense of authority comes from. It's all of one piece, and you are a person who can preach what you do,
that's
a great thing. Let me ask you one other question about Sunday. Sounds like such a great day, but I want to ask you, if you had your way, what do you want people who participate on Sunday, what do you want them to feel or think when they leave after this is all over?
That's wonderful. One of King's, I am a King file. I love just his writings. You know, so much more than the I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah.
Just a great writer. But that expression of us being inextricably connected together, inextricably connected in this kind of human web of life that he sort of gets actually from Howard Thurman and other writers. I want people to leave feeling that when a child is hungry, their stomach will growl.
Yeah.
When a child is shot to death, that they grieve. When a kid can't get a job when they graduate from college and can't begin to have a successful life because they're just burned with debt, that they actually feel grief. I want us to feel like we are a human family and that there is no issue too great that we can't work on together, that we can learn about them, become educated about them, and create strategies to heal our own souls and to heal the world. It's ambitious, but it is not beyond us.
The Reverend Dr. Jackie Lewis, Senior Minister at Middle Collegiate Church in New York City. Jackie, I've got to ask you one other question. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything we've talked about, and it may not be important to anybody but me. But why do you spell Jackie, J-A-C-Q-U-I?
Why do I do that? Because I was a fourth grader in Chicago in a classroom full of Jackies. And I thought, man, what's up with that? Everybody was Jackie. And my 9-year-old mind turned to, well, it's got a Q in it anyway. So I just started writing it that way. And it makes me feel a little bit less among the crowd.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, that's great. Okay. Well, this Sunday, January 19th, the community in which Jackie Lewis is the pastor, the senior minister, Middle Collegiate Church in New York City, is celebrating the life of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. with a graphic enactment of the biblical call to beat swords into plowshares, and then continuing Dr. King's legacy of opposing both violence and injustice. They'll be offering a workshop that will be helpful to all who attend. Dr. Lewis, I can't tell you how much of a pleasure it is to talk with you and to listen to some of your vision and to learn what your congregation has been doing in such an not just impressive but effective way for hurting people. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today on State of Belief Radio, and I hope we can talk again.
I hope so. Thank you so much for the kindness of giving us the space to talk about this. And your listeners can find us at middlechurch.org. Thank you.